بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah salam and salam be upon the Prophet. May Allah salam and salam be on the Prophet, and upon the believing members of his family, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, and last night we finished the explanation of verse 23, where the challenge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring a single chapter that is like the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged both those from the disbelievers and as well as those whom they worship, and this is the ultimate in terms of a challenge. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asserting in verse 24, which we're going to be explaining inshallah now, in verse 24, but if you do it not, and you can never do it, but if you do it not, and you can never do it, then fear the fire hell, whose fuel is men and stones prepared for the disbelievers. Meaning, if you do it not, meaning if you don't bring a chapter like the Quran, and certainly Allah is making it sure, and you can never do it. When he said, if you, and this is a conditional, cutting their hopes by saying then, and you cannot never do it. And this len never is forever, because this stage is a chain, is a stage of challenge. Then fear the fire. If you cannot oppose the Quran and bring something similar to it, then fear the fire of hell, and they will find nothing to protect them from the fire of hell, except that they believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in that which has been sent upon him. Then fear the fire. Allah is giving descriptions now of the fire, whose fuel is men and stones. The fuel is known. Like in this life, the wood. However, in the hereafter, the fuel for the fire will be men and stones. Fire burning them and ignited by them. And the stones, some of the scholars are with the opinion that the stones here refer to the stones worshipped from the stones that make up the idols, because they worship these idols. So these idols will be with them in the fire of hell, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained in chapter 21 verse 98 in Surah Al-Anbiya. قال الله عز وجل إنكم وما تعبدون من دون الله حصب جهنم أنتم لها واردون. Certainly you, disbelievers, and that which you are worshipping now besides Allah are but fuel for hell. Surely you will enter it. And another opinion that the stones refers to these stones which they worship, and the stones that are lit and created by Allah Azza wa Jal as a fuel for the fire of hell, that this could refer to both meanings. Prepared for every disbeliever, the one who disbelieves in the message sent down upon Muhammad, or the one who disbelieves in the divinity of Allah, that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped alone, or disbelieves by any other act which is considered from the act of disbelief. Points of benefit from this verse. First point of benefit, that anyone who opposes the Quran, then his abode is the fire of hell. Anyone who opposes the Quran and disdains and insists on his disdainfulness, then his abode is the fire of hell, because Allah says فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ, and fear the fire. And from the points of benefit is that men are fuel, that men are fuel for the fire. Just as wood here and this life is known to be fuel for the fire of this life, and at the same time it burns them, so they are used to ignite and they are burned by it. So in this case, the torture and the torment comes from two angles to them, or upon them. And from the point of benefit is number three, is the humiliation of the disbelievers in the sense that Allah will humiliate those things which they worshipped, and that they will be set in the fire of hell in accordance with the meanings that were discussed earlier concerning the stones. And this is a humiliation. Why? Because man is kind of, you know, cares for the one or for the thing that he worshipped in this life, meaning that he doesn't like anything to hurt him or it. So when these worshipped things are burnt in the fire of hell before those who worship them, then this is from the complete humiliation to them. And from the points of benefit is number four, that the fire of hell exists now, prepared for the disbelievers. Prepared for the disbelievers. And not only the fire of hell, but also paradise exists now. And it is prepared for the pious, those who comply with Allah's commands, worship Him alone, and abstain from His prohibitions. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about it, "U'iddat," prepared. And this verb is a past tense. And the past tense indicates the existence of something. And this is also something which is proven by the Sunnah. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah made him see paradise and the fire of hell while he was praying, leading the prayers of the eclipse. When the eclipse took place, he led the believers in the salah and the prayers, and during that salah he saw Allah exposed to him the paradise and the fire of hell. And he saw in the fire its people tortured. He saw Amr bin Luhay al-Khuza'i dragging his intestine in the fire of hell, because he was the one who brought the idols to the Arabs from greater Syria, from Bilad al-Sham. And he saw the woman in the fire of hell, that woman who trapped a cat until it died out of hunger. She didn't feed it, nor she let it go to eat from the vegetation of the earth. And he saw in the fire of hell that man who used to steal the pilgrims while they performing their pilgrimage, he used to do that with a stick which has a bent head, stealing the property of the pilgrims. When they pass by him, he sneaks with this stick of his their belongings, such that if anybody would see him, he would claim that, well, it was the stick which accidentally dragged that belonging. And if nobody sees him, he takes it. And he was tortured with that stick in the fire of hell. And all of this are reported in Sahih Muslim. Question: is the fire of hell existing and continue to exist, or it is going to end? Some of the scholars related the consensus of the Salaf, of the righteous predecessors, that it is existing eternally. And some of them related a different opinion from the Salaf, that it will end, and the correct position is that it will stay forever. And the evidence for this is from the Book of Allah in 3 verses in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa in chapter 4, and in chapter 33, and in Surah Al-Jinn. Let's take them one by one. In Surah An-Nisa, this will be chapter 4, verse 168-169. إن الذين كفروا وظلموا لم يكن الله ليغفر لهم ولا ليهديهم طريقا إلا طريق جهنم خالدين فيها أبدا. Verily those who disbelieve and did wrong, Allah will not forgive them. He did wrong, meaning they disbelieved. Nor will he guide them to any way except the way of hell, to dwell therein forever. And this is ever easy for Allah. The second verse is from Surah Al-Ahzab, 33, 64 and 65. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ سَعِيرًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Verily Allah has cursed the disbelievers and has prepared for them a flaming fire, hell, wherein they will abide forever, and they will find neither a protector nor a helper. And the third verse from Surah Al-Jinn, chapter 72, verse 23. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, and here disobey is not just sin, this refers to disbelief, then verily for him is the fire of hell, he shall dwell therein forever. And there is, therefore, from these verses, after the speech of Allah, there can be no other speech. And it is from the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that the paradise and hell are existing now, and that they will never end forever and ever. And the difference mentioned concerning the eternity of the fire, this is a preponderated opinion. The certain one is that the fire, like paradise, doesn't come to an end. And it is strange that Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah went with the opinion that it will come to an end, despite that the matter is very clear. But as the Shaykh rahimahullah is saying, but as our Shaykh, referring to his Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Sa'di, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his mercy be upon him, everyone, the meaning is, everyone can err, and that the correct opinion and the certain one, and the Shaykh rahimahullah said, and it is decisively certain to me that this is the truth, that the evidences established that the fire of hell is existing forever and ever. Because if someone is to dwell therein forever, then this necessitates that itself is forever. Now, as to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hud 107, خالدين فيها ما دامت السماوات والأرض إلا ما شاء ربك, they will dwell therein for all the time that the heavens and the earth endure, except as your Lord wills. This is concerning the dwellers of the fire of hell. This verse is similar to the saying of Allah concerning the people of paradise, where he said in the next verse 11 108, okay, 11 108, and those who are blessed, they will be in paradise, abiding therein for all the time that the heavens and the earth endure, except as your Lord will, a gift without an end. Look at this, a gift without an end. So, but since that the people of paradise, their bliss and their reward is a generosity from Allah and a favor from Him, He made it clear that this favor will not be disconnected without an end. Otherwise, it's the same, meaning both verses. And since the torment of the dwellers of the fire of hell originates from the justice of Allah and the complete and absolute authority of Him, Allah said at the end of the verse 107, verily your Lord is the doer of what He wills. But with the case of the people of paradise, because it's a favor from Him, He said a gift without an end. It doesn't mean, verily your Lord is the doer of what He wills, that He will bring them out of the fire of hell, or that He will end the fire. And from the point 5 now, that the fire of hell is the abode for the disbelievers, because Allah said prepared for the disbelievers, so it is their abode. However, anyone who will be admitted to it from the disobedient believers, they will not dwell therein forever. They will be like visitors, quote unquote, meaning that they will eventually leave it. So there, concerning them, the fire of hell is not considered their abode. Rather, it is the abode for the disbelievers. However, the disobedient believer, if Allah does not forgive him, then he will be punished in it as long as Allah wishes. Then he will be admitted out of it, will be taken out of it, either by an approved intercession, or as a favor from Allah, or at the end of his punishment. And also, he may not be admitted to it in the first place if Allah purifies him in this life through certain afflictions and tests. Of course, this is not really making it light, not at all. And from the benefits of these verses is that the Quran shall remain. How do we deduce this? We deduce it from the verse. Let us have the verse again here. But if you do it not, and you can never do it, then fear the fire hell, whose fuel is men and stones prepared for the disbelievers. So if its fuel is the people, and this will encompass the people until the day of resurrection who oppose the Quran, then this indicates that the Quran will continue challenging to all mankind until the day of resurrection, and that whoever opposes it, then he will be of the fuel of the fire of hell. And from the points of benefit of these verses is the affirmation of reckoning, and that in itself affirms the last day. And these are, or this day is from the six pillars of faith, and the six pillars of faith are the belief and faith in Allah, His angels, His books, and His messengers, and the last day. It's good and bad. Case: if someone says, what's the i'jaz in the Quran? How the Quran is miraculous? What about its wondrousness? The answer is, it is so from all angles, because it is the speech of Allah. And in the speech of Allah, from the angles of wondrousness and miraculous aspects, is the intensity and power of the style, and its eloquence and beauty, such that there is no boredom in reading it. No one gets bored. The person recites the Quran in the morning, in the evening. Even he may finish it in 2 days or 3 days and does not get bored. But if he reads any other text, he will get bored easily if he repeats it twice or thrice. Secondly, it is miraculous also because more the person recites it with pondering and contemplation, then in these additional recitations, more and more understanding will appear to him, things which he never thought of earlier in the first recitations. And this is known for those especially who ponder the Quran. Thirdly, the truthfulness of its information, which is attested to by reality, and the perfection of its laws, which comprises the benefits for this life and for the hereafter. Listen to what Allah says in this respect in chapter 6, verse 115. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. and the word of your Lord has been fulfilled in truth and in justice. None can change his words, and he is the all-hearer, all-knower. Fourthly, its influence and impact on the hearts. And on the way of the believers, such that our righteous predecessors, when they fulfilled the meanings of the Quran, they possessed the east and the west of the earth. As to the manner of its challenge and its as to the manner of its wondrousness and miraculous nature is or lies in the challenge for mankind and jinn to bring something similar to it, and they couldn't, and they will never be able to do so. Another case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us about his prophets and messengers, and those who opposed them informed us certain sayings, certain statements. So this information relates their sayings. So could their sayings be of this miraculous nature? For example, would that be considered? Take for example Pharaoh. When he said to Musa in Surah Al-Shu'ara 29, لَئِنْ اتَّخَذْتَ إِلَهًا غَيْرِي لَأَجْعَلَنَّكَ مِنَ الْمَسْجُونِينَ. Where is this? It's 29. This should be, 26, 29, sorry for that. Al-Shu'ara 26. 29 is Al-An'akabut. لَإِنِ اتَّخَذْتَ إِلَهًا غَيْرِي لَأَجْعَلَنَّكَ مِنَ الْمَسْجُونِينَ. Fir'aun said to Musa, if you choose an ilah, a god other than me, meaning other than Fir'aun, I will certainly put you among the prisoners, O Musa. Here Allah is telling this, that Fir'aun spoke it, or informing us that this is from Fir'aun. So how could this saying be the saying of Fir'aun? Fir'aun said. So how could we consider then in this case that the Quran is miraculous? Can we say that the saying of Fir'aun is of a wonder nature, of a miraculous nature, or is it the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal? The answer is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us of their wordings, rather the meaning. And thus, the recited in the Quran is the speech of Allah, and therefore it's miraculous. Is this clear? These sayings that are related to the prophets and messengers and their opponents, is that clear now? This, the related to us is the meaning, but so what we read in the Quran regarding them is the recitation, is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore it is miraculous. So this case is resolved, alhamdulillah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, giving the glad tidings now for the believers, verse 25. وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ وَأُوتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Okay, let's go to the and give glad tidings to those who believe and do righteous good deeds, that from them or for them there will be gardens under which rivers flow, meaning in paradise. Every time they will be provided with a fruit therefrom, they will say, this is what we were provided with before. and they will be given things in resemblance, meaning in the same form but different in taste, and they shall have therein azwajan mutahharun, azwajum mutahhara, meaning purified mates or wives, wahum fiha khalidun, and they will abide therein forever. Now the occasion of this verse with respect to those, the relation of this verse with respect to the to those preceding it, this came after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the threat to the disbelievers and their abode, those who belie the messenger. Allah gives the promise to the believers, and Allah started by saying wabashir, give the good news, the good news which introduces happiness. And it is called as such because bashir, because the bashra, which is the the bashara, which is in Arabic the you know, one's face, because man, when he is given something of a good news, his face and it brightens, and he feels good, and his breast would feel relaxed and eased, opened. So his his face, appearance of his face changes, enlightens and brightens because of the good news. And it could also be used in the other sense concerning the bad news, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to the spoke concerning the disbelievers in 3:21, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ, announce to them a painful torment. So the use of the same term bashirhum, which we know now, earlier what it meant, we knew what it meant concerning the good news, this could be here out of scolding, or that whatever news that will reach them concerning the torment, then their outward appearance on their faces will change and will darken, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning their torment in the fire of hell in Surah Al-Dukhan 44, 48, 49, ثُمَّ صُبُّوا فَوْقَ رَأْسِهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْحَمِيمِ ذُقْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْكَرِيمُ. Look at the scolding at them. Then pour over his head the torment of boiling water. Taste. You, this, verily you were pretending to be the mighty, the generous, out of scolding. You, mighty and generous, out of scolding. Now, here, in this verse, in Surah Al-Baqarah, which we are discussing, in 225, it started by giving, give glad tidings. This address could be to the messenger, to give the glad tidings, and it also could be to everyone addressed. Meaning, O Prophet, give the glad tidings, or you one being addressed who is qualified of these qualities, then you are addressed that you will be in paradise. Those who believe. Believing in what? In what is obligatory upon them, what's obligated of faith, of what Allah informed of, and of what His Messenger informed of. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us of the fundamentals and the pillars of faith, that they conclude, they comprise the belief, the faith in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and the pre-decree, it's good and bad. And the having faith in these things is just sheer attestation, but it must be with acceptance and submissiveness, otherwise faith would not be correct. So from their qualities is that they believe and also they do righteous deeds, and these righteous deeds are the deeds which originate out of love and magnification of Allah, and which comprises sincerity and purity and following, true following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anything without pure sincerity there then is corrupt. And we remember the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qudsi hadith, I am most suffice of having partners. Anyone who acts an act and sets up rivals for me in that act, in his worship, then I will leave him and his shirk. And anything which is not in accordance with the way of the Messenger, then it will be rejected. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, anyone who acts an act which is not in accordance of our matter, then it will be rejected. So those believers and those who do the righteous deeds, let them, for them there will be the glad tidings of lahum jannat. This is the news. Lahum jannat, they will be in gardens. And jannah, linguistically, it's the garden with abundant trees and branches, such that the trees will cover the earth underneath, and therefore the earth will be shielded. This is the linguistic meaning. The legal meaning of the Jannah, look to this definition, it's very important. The legal meaning, the Islamic meaning of paradise is the abode which Allah prepared for the pious, and in it there is no eye that ever saw, nor a ear had ever heard, nor came on the thought of anyone, on the mind of anyone, or on the heart of anyone. Then, more concerning the descriptions of paradise, تجري من تحتها الأنهار, under which rivers flow. الأنهار, تجري, underneath. The scholars said that the rivers flow from underneath the trees and from underneath the mansions and the palaces. It doesn't mean that it flows under the earth of paradise, because there will be no benefit from that. And there is so much beauty in these rivers flowing underneath the trees and the mansions. Man will find a beauty and enjoyment in looking at it before he takes anything of these trees, from the fruits and the like. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that the rivers of paradise are four, as in Surah Muhammad 47 verse 15. Four types of rivers in paradise. مثل الجنة التي وعد المتقون فيها أنهار من ماء غير آس وأنهار من لبن لم يتغير طعمه وأنهار من خمر لذة للشاربين وأنهار من عسل مصفى. Four rivers. Let's have the verse, please. The description of paradise which the pious have been promised is that in it are rivers of, number one, water, the taste and smell of which are not changed. Second, rivers of milk of which the taste never changes. This is the second type. So there is water, milk, rivers of wine delicious to those who drink wine. Three, and it is not the same wine of this life. The wine of paradise does not cause any intoxication or trouble. It's complete enjoyment. This is the third. The fourth, and rivers of clarified honey, clear and pure, therein for them is every kind of a fruit and forgiveness from their Lord. Are these like those who shall dwell forever in the fire and be given to drink boiling water so that it cuts up their bowels? We seek refuge in Allah from that. Allah describes them further in our verse, which we talk in the verse which we are talking about in 225. Back again, please, to 225. كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل. Okay, that's for them, the gardens under which rivers flow. Let's have the next one, the continuity, please, of the verse, the continuity of the statement. كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل. Let's continue, please. Every time they will be provided with a fruit therefrom, they will say, this is what we were provided with before. Because it resembles in size, in color, in touch, that which were provided before. And also, it resembles these things given before from other qualities. So they would think that this is the first that they were given. However, it's really different in taste. Very much different. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا, and they will be given things in resemblance. And how beautiful and lovely for man if he sees the fruits, seeing it as if it's the same, all of it. Yet when he tastes it, then there is a great difference in taste. So we'll find him more inclined to take from this fruit and enjoying it and amazed of it. How could this great difference be? Yet the shape and the size and the color and everything is the same. So that's why if someone gives you or presents you with fruits whose colors are the same and sizes are the same and it's and touch is the same, and if you taste it, if you are presented by that, and if you taste it and you find this is purely sweet and the other is sweet and little bit with sourness, you will find more enjoyment than all being the same or being different in resemblance. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and made it clear that in paradise there is also azwaj. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا azwaj. So after he mentioned the fruits, he mentioned the azwaj. In each type there is enjoyment. In one there is enjoyment in taste, and in the other there is a different type of enjoyment. Azwaj, this is a plural of zawj, and this comprises those from the al-hur al-ain, the huris of paradise, and from the wives of this life. And the term zawj in Arabic is given to male and female generally. Allah described them as pure, and this comprises the apparent purity and the inner purity. So she is free from all physical impurities, no urine, no defecation, no menses, no istihada, all forms of, no sweating, from all these physical aspects. Also pure from the inner impurity, like jealousy, hatred, enmity, and the like. And they will dwell therein forever. From the benefits of this verse, number one, permissibility to give glad tidings in that which introduces happiness to others. Because Allah says, and give glad tidings to the believers, to those who believe and who do righteous deeds. And also take, for example, the saying of Allah 37:112, وَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِإِسْحَاقِ, the glad tidings which Abraham was given. وَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِإِسْحَاقَ نَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So this is from the way of the messengers عليهم الصلاة والسلام. And from that is, and we gave him the glad tidings of Ishaq, Isaac, a prophet from the righteous, glad tidings. And is it considered to be glad tidings concerning the news of the the seasons of worship? For example, if someone at the time of coming of Ramadan, of the month of Ramadan, you tell him hannaka Allahu bihadha ash-shahr, and give him the glad tidings of the coming of this month. May Allah and have this a blessed month upon you. Is this permissible? Is this from the glad tidings? The answer is yes. Similarly, if he completes the fasting of Ramadan, and you tell him concerning the celebration of the Eid, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a good Eid for you, a blessed Eid for you. May Allah accept from you this worship and the like. There is no problem with that. And this was from the way of the Salaf, the Shaykh rahimahullah said. From the points of benefit of this verse, that paradise and the glad tidings of paradise cannot be except to the one who believes and do righteous deeds. Creed alone is not suffice. It's inevitable to have faith and righteous deeds. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala associated them together in the Quran, always mentioning faith and righteous deeds. So the paradise cannot be except for those who combined the faith and the righteous deeds. Now if someone says, well, in the Quran there is something to indicate that there are four descriptions required to be in paradise: faith, righteous deeds, commanding each other with the truth, and with perseverance, as in Surah Al-Asr. The answer, let's have Surah Al-Asr 103 please. By time man is in loss, then comes what? Except those who believe, this is one. Do righteous good deeds, this is second. And recommend one another to the truth, this is third. And abstain from all kinds of sins, and recommend one another to be patient and to perceive. So the answer is yes, the recommendation with the truth and perseverance and righteous deeds and perseverance and staying away from sin, all of this is from righteous deeds. Surah Al-Asr 103. All of this is from righteous deeds. However, sometimes what's mentioned is single aspects of the general aspects. due to a certain reason. So sometimes singular matters are mentioned rather than singular matters which constitute the general whole picture, due to a certain reason. From the point of benefit is that the reward of the believers, that the reward of the believers who do righteous deeds is much more, far more greater than what they really do, than the magnitude of their actions. Because no matter how much they reach the extent of faith, and no matter how much they do from the limitless acts of righteousness, the reward that they receive never ends, because they will be forever and ever eternally in paradise. So this is a disproportionate matter. Similarly, these actions that they do, the righteous deeds that they may do, sometimes may be done with laziness or be tired while doing it. So there could be some defect in them. But if Allah bestows upon him the admittance to paradise, the paradise and its bliss is perfect and endless. And from the points of benefit is that the mischief and corrupt deeds does not lift its doer, and it avails him not, rather it's forbidden for him to do, because they constitute some type of mocking at Allah. And under this there is another benefit concluded from this, is that it is not permissible for man to pray without wudu, or pray with filth on his, from the filth which cannot be forgiven or excused, because this will be from the correct deeds, from the corrupt deeds. And if he does it, then it is as if he is mocking at Allah. And from the points of benefit is that the gardens are of different types. The gardens of paradise are of different types. Because Allah said, Jannat. Jannat mean gardens. And this is evident from the Quran and Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rahman, in chapter 55, verse 46, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. But for him who, the true believer, there will be two gardens in paradise for him. Then Allah said in the same chapter 55:62, وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّتَانِ وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّتَانِ. And besides these two, there are two other gardens. So, in gardens, different types in paradise. طيب. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said, جَنَّتَانِ مِن فِضَّةٍ آنِيَتُهُمَا وَمَا فِيهِمَا وَجَنَّتَانِ مِن ذَهَبٍ آنِيَتُهُمَا وَمَا فِيهِمَا. In the hadith of Abdullah bin Qais, the Messenger ﷺ said, two gardens of silver, their utensils and whatever is in them, and two other gardens of gold, their utensils and whatever is in them, and nothing will prevent the people who will be in the Adn, paradise, from seeing their Lord except the curtain of majesty over his face. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min fadlik. From the benefits is that in paradise there are rivers, and we came to know that these rivers are four, of water, of milk, of wine, and of pure honey. And these are created without a known reason, contrary or different from the rivers of this life in this life, because these are for known reasons. And there are no rivers in this life from milk and honey and wine. And these rivers in paradise, as came in one report, that they flow without, you know, the paths for rivers which we know of in this life. And that there are no boundaries to limit them. But it flows. And man deals with them as he wishes, directing their flow in the direction he wishes. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, أَنْهَارُهَا فِي غَيْرِ أُخْدُودٍ جَرَتْ سُبْحَانَ مُمْسِكِهَا عَنِ الْفَيَضَانِ. Its rivers without paths flow. Most glorified the one who holds them from overflowing. And this is in his poet, which is called An-Nuniyyah. So these rivers differ also in their reality from the rivers that we know in this life. And concerning the fruits, similarly they differ. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, in which he described the paradise, he said, قال الله أعددت لعبادي الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have prepared for my righteous slaves, meaning reward, in paradise, that which no eye had ever seen, nor an ear had ever heard, nor came on the thought or on the heart of any human. And Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, ليس في الدنيا مما في الجنة إلا الأسماء. Nothing in this life as to that which may be present in paradise, except, you know, they share nothing except in name. إلا الأسماء. Meaning rivers here, rivers there, but the rivers of paradise, they share only the term river. But the reality is as you heard in the hadith earlier. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in 55:68 concerning the fruits. فِيهِمَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَنَخْلٌ وَرُمَّانٌ. In them both will be fruits, وَنَخْل, date palms, and pomegranates. The pomegranates, the date palms, the fruits exist in this life, but they differ from those in paradise. Similarly, in the same sense, the life in this world differ from the life in the next one. Look at us here. People need to sleep, and in paradise they don't need that. In this life, they are touched by illnesses and difficulties, and in paradise nothing of that touches them. And in this life, if man falls into a fire, will burn and may die here. However, in the hereafter, if he falls in the fire of hell, we seek refuge in Allah from that. even though he may be burned and his skin will be refreshed, he doesn't die, as Allah made it clear in 4:56, كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناها جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب إن الله كان عزيزا حكيما. Surely those who disbelieve in our verses, proofs, evidences, we shall burn them in the fire. As often as their skin are roasted through, we shall change them for other skins, that they may taste the punishment. Truly Allah is our most powerful, all wise. And from the points of benefits is that people in paradise, they will be given the fruits and the provisions in resemblance. They will resemble each other. And once they eat it, it will be different from what they ate earlier, from that which resembled it before. And this increases man's enjoyment and eagerness for this food. And from the benefits of this verse, Ithbatul Azwaj fil Akhirah, affirmation of Azwaj, spouses, in the hereafter, and that this is from the perfection of bliss. And thus accordingly there is jima', there is intercourse, but without any harm which may occur in this life. There is no female and male sexual discharges. These semen which are created for this life, they were created in order to continue the generations, for continuity of mankind, because they contain the material which will bring forth the formation of the fetus and comes as a babe. However, in the hereafter, they don't need all of that, because there is no need for the continuity of the generations, because those present, they will stay forever and ever. None of them comes to extinction. Similarly, they don't need anyone to give them help and assistance. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning their service. يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل. O Allah, we ask you for paradise and what brings us closer to it from sayings and actions, and we seek refuge in you from hell and what brings us closer to it from sayings and actions. In Surah Al-Waqi'ah, in Surah Al-Insan, let's take Surah Al-Insan, Chapter 76, verse 19. They don't need, and everything will be at their service. وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ حَسِبْتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. And around about them will serve boys of everlasting youth. If you see them, you would think them scattered pearls. Let's have the next verse, please. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. And when you look there in paradise, you will see a delight that cannot be imagined, and a great dominion. عَالِيَهُمْ ثِيَابُ سُنْدُسٍ خُضُرٌ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٌ. Next verse. وَحُلُّوا أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا طَهُورًا. Their garments will be of fine green silk and gold, embroidery. They will be adorned with bracelets of silver, and their Lord will give them a pure drink. Again, the silver and the gold, not like our silver and gold. Only the commonality is in name. إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ لَكُمْ جَزَاءً وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. And it will be said to them, verily this is a reward for you, and your endeavor has been accepted. Listen to this, Fleming. Fleming, listen to this verse, please, because of the question that you raised earlier concerning how the Muslim and the issue of fear and everything. Let's have this here. 22. And it will be said to them, verily this is a reward for you, and your endeavor. I see, okay. And your endeavor, this is the point, Fleming, and your endeavor has been accepted. And your endeavor has been accepted. Reward is proportional to the righteous action. Also, what they will receive there, they don't need to do much. Everything will be provided for them. Ease. Everything at their service. So, spouses, enjoyment, perfect enjoyment. We go to Yasin 55:58. إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ هُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ فِي ظِلَالٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم فيها ما يدعون سلام قولا من رب رحيم. Verily the dwellers of the paradise that day will be busy in joyful things, and their wives will be in pleasant shade reclining on thrones. They will have therein fruits of all kinds and all that they ask for. It will be said to them, Salamun qawlan min Rabbir Rahim. Salam, peace be upon you, a word from the Lord Allah, most merciful. So they enjoy the wives, and they recline with them, and enjoy sitting with them, and with fruits given to them, boys serving them, reclining there on raised thrones. They will see there nothing the excessive heat of the sun, لا يرون فيها شمسا ولا زمهريرا, nor the excessive bitter cold, as in paradise there is no sun and no moon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the fruits and the service, again in 76:14, وَدَانِيَةً عَلَيْهِمْ ظِلَالُهَا وَذُلِّلَتْ قُطُوفُهَا تَذْلِيلًا. And the shade thereof is close upon them, and the bunches of fruit thereof will hang low within their reach. They don't need anyone to climb a tree, to bring them the fruits. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them, وَجَنَى الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانِ 55:54. Reclining, and the shade thereof is close upon them, and the branches of wood. Okay, we got that. Reclining upon the couches lined with silk brocade, and the fruits of the two gardens will be near at hand. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةً, as in 69:23. قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةً. The fruits in bunches whereof will be low and near at hand, even to the extent that some of the scholars are with the opinion that whenever the person looks at a fruit on the tree, feeling that he likes to have it, the branch will come close so that for him to grab it. And don't be amazed and concerning this. Here in this life we see things come closer from certain things without a physical authority. And in the hereafter, the matter is much more profound. And from the benefits is that the people of paradise will dwell therein forever and ever, and that it will never come to end, and those in it will never come to end. And this is the consensus of Ahl Sunnah. And from the benefits of this is the incitement to be on faith and righteousness. This brings the end of the explanation of these two verses. And inshallah, tomorrow we'll go to verse 26. إن الله لا يستحي أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها. To the rest of the verse. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.